Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 22nd, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden releases plans for another round of executive orders.
Anthony Fauci steps back into the spotlight as the new administration takes power.
Mitch McConnell threatens the president's top priorities while looking to delay impeachment proceedings.
And the White House lays plans for a tax hike on corporations and wealthy Americans.
The Port Authority released a new plan to replace its bus terminal, plus Lloyd Austin is set to become the first Black Secretary of Defense. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks won at Golden State. The Islanders beat the Devils, and we'll hear from the new coach of the Jets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are lower to close out the trading week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 27 points. Dow futures down 248 and Nasdaq futures down 71. The DAX in Germany is down 0.75%. CAC in Paris down 1.2%. FTSE 100 down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.09%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.5% on $1.32 at $51.81 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.8% or $14.80 at $18.54.50 an ounce. The euro 1.2171 against the dollar. The yen 103.70. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in the nation's capital, where President Biden is once again issuing executive orders. This time they're focused on the economy, and they come as Biden's stimulus plan hits roadblocks in Congress. Details emerged just last hour, and Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
These latest executive orders will boost food assistance for poor Americans and use federal contracts to move toward a national minimum wage hike. They'll also restore federal workers' rights that had been stripped by former President Trump. But Biden's $1.9 trillion pandemic relief plan faces challenges in Congress. Moderate Senate Republicans say there's no need to rush after passing a $900 billion plan last month. But the unemployment aid in that package runs out in just 2 months, so President Biden's top economic advisor, Brian Deese, will meet with lawmakers to discuss the plan, which is the first part of a two-pronged economic initiative. That second package, aimed at longer-term areas like infrastructure and climate change, is coming next month. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meantime, President Biden's primary focus remains on the pandemic, and he's warning the nation to prepare for dark days ahead.
The honest truth is, we're still in a dark winter of this pandemic. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to take many months to get where we need to be.
The president's asking the nation to assume a wartime footing in its fight against the pandemic. He says 100,000 more Americans will likely die over the next month.
The Biden administration has Dr. Anthony Fauci back in the spotlight. The nation's foremost infectious disease expert is welcoming the shift in tone that has come with a new president.
The idea that you can get up here and talk about what you know, what the evidence, what the science is, and know that's it. Let the science speak. It is somewhat of a liberating feeling.
At the same time, Fauci is cautiously optimistic about President Biden's plans to ramp up vaccinations.
I believe that the goal that was set by the president of getting 100 million people vaccinated in the first 100 days is quite a reasonable goal.
So far, the U.S. has administered more than 18 million shots. You can get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Back on Capitol Hill, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is threatening to oppose legislation from President Biden unless Democrats commit to keeping the filibuster rule intact.
The legislative filibuster is a crucial part of the Senate. Leading Democrats like President Biden himself have long defended it.
With the Senate split 50-50, McConnell and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer have been meeting to work out a power-sharing agreement. Separately, McConnell is pushing for a delay to the impeachment trial of Donald Trump. The minority leader is proposing a start date in February to give the former president time to assemble a legal team.
Well, despite the divide in Washington, there should be a few proposals that President Biden can push through quickly. That's according to former Democratic Governor of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell.
Those are things like significant reductions in prescription drug prices, a $15 minimum wage, a robust infrastructure bill that spends significant dollars creating jobs, creating orders for American manufacturing.
Former Governor Rendell was a guest on Bloomberg Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. While those priorities are surely high on Biden's list, he is also making moves in the energy sector. Sources tell us the president is poised to suspend the sale of coal, oil, and gas leases on federal land. We're told the official announcement on that comes next week.
When it comes to taxes under the new administration, corporations and wealthy Americans are being targeted for an increase, and we get more from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Janet Yellen, the president's pick for Treasury Secretary, plans to fast-track a series of tax hikes. Bloomberg News obtained her written responses to follow-up questions from senators at her confirmation hearing. And in those responses, Yellen suggested the wealthy could see higher tax rates under her tenure. She also backed President Biden's plan to raise the corporate tax rate. The Senate Finance Committee is scheduled to advance Yellen's nomination today. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. Turning to Wall Street now, Intel is out with earnings. The chipmaker is giving an upbeat forecast for the current quarter, but challenges remain. That has shares down almost 4% this morning. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Intel sees revenue of around $17.5 billion for the period ending in March, above expectations. There was an appearance from incoming CEO Pat Gelsinger on the call, who replaces Bob Swan on February 15th. Gelsinger said Intel would eventually outsource some chip production, a question that investors have been pondering for months. A longer-term concern, though, is enterprise customers. Sales to corporate customers have been much more quiet. In the data centers business, volumes and average selling prices also declined. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. We're getting a better picture this morning on how bonus season will shake out on Wall Street. Bank of America will pay its staff special bonuses for working through the pandemic. Those who make $100,000 or less will get an extra $750 this year, while higher-paid employees will get a stock award.
And there will be no pay raise for Jamie Dimon. J.P. Morgan Chase is keeping the CEO's compensation unchanged. He'll get $31.5 million for his work last year, at a time when the pandemic roiled the economy and caused banks to set aside billions to cover bad loans. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Officials say 15 New York City-run coronavirus vaccination hubs are postponing all first-dose appointments as the city waits for more vaccine supplies. Mayor Bill de Blasio, talking about the shortage, says 45,000 vaccine doses were administered Wednesday, and the daily number will grow if the city gets more doses.
We're going to be at 50,000 a day and more very soon. If we have the vaccine to go with it, we've had to, and I think it's just tremendously sad that as we have so many people want the vaccine and so much ability to give the vaccine, what's happening? For lack of supply, we're actually having to cancel appointments.
De Blasio says he is hopeful that President Biden will use the Defense Production Act to get more vaccines produced. New York City traffic levels are showing a sluggish start to the year, a reminder that a vaccine-led recovery will take more time to perk up fuel markets. The MTA says traffic on 11 New York City highways, bridges, and tunnels was at about 4.9 million vehicles in the week ending January 16th. That's about a 3.7% decline from month-ago levels. The Port Authority released a new plan to replace its neglected, overcrowded Midtown bus terminal. Officials say replacing it will take a decade at least. The new five-story terminal will be able to handle almost 40% more passengers. Congress has sent President Biden a bill to allow retired General Lloyd Austin to be Secretary of Defense. The House easily passed a waiver that would allow Austin to hold the position. The Senate soon followed.
On this vote, the yeas are 69, the nays are 27. The 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill is passed.
He would be the first black Secretary of Defense. President Biden will seek a five-year extension of the new START arms control treaty with Russia. It comes as the new director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines, will look into what Russia did last year. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
The president is also issuing a tasking to the intelligence community for its full assessment of the SolarWinds cyber breach, Russian interference in the 2020 election, its use of chemical weapons against opposition leader Alexei Navalny, and the alleged bounties on U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan.
A group of Senate Democrats filed a complaint to the Ethics Committee seeking an investigation of Republican Senators Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, accusing them of spreading baseless claims of election fraud that contributed to the January 6th storming of the Capitol. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. John Stashower has Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan. Solid win for the Knicks to start the four-game road trip. They scored 40 points in the first quarter, went on to beat Golden State 119-104. Six Knicks in double figures, led by R.J. Barrett's 28 points. Islanders got a pair of goals from Jordan Eberle, beat the Devils 4-1. The slump continues at Rutgers, who was 7-1, ranked in the top 15, a fifth straight loss, 75-67 at Penn State, who came in 0-5 in the Big Ten. Philadelphia Eagles named Nick Sirianni their new coach. He was the offensive coordinator at Indianapolis. The Jets introduced new coach Rob Sala, who was asked about the effect 9/11 had on him. His brother had just moved to New York, was in the second day of a job at Morgan Stanley on the 61st floor of the South Tower. When the North was hit, he ignored advice to stay put and began moving down. He was on the 24th floor when the South Tower was hit. He survived, and the Jets coach said it factored in him changing careers and pursuing his coaching dream.
Going through my brother's experience and the tragedy that he experienced, being able to self-reflect on what I was doing at that moment, and realizing that I had a passion for football really triggered this whole thing. And, you know, in 2014, we were here in MetLife Stadium, won a Super Bowl with Seattle, and now to be here as part of the New York Jets and knowing that our first game is a day after the 20th anniversary, I mean, I'm supposed to be here.
Sadly, he preys on Jets incumbent quarterback Sam Darnold. QB Dwayne Haskins, top draft picker, was released before his second season ended in Washington, has signed with Pittsburgh. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thanks, John. And join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman joins us to discuss the challenges the pandemic poses to the league this year. Catch the conversation tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. Futures lower this morning. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are falling along with U.S. stock index futures as restrictions to curb escalating coronavirus cases dent some of the optimism over earnings and plans for additional stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 29 points this morning. Dow futures down 267. NASDAQ futures down 78. The DAX in Germany's down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.09%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.7% at $1.40 at $51.73 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1% or $18.20 at $18.51 an ounce. The euro 1.2175 against the dollar, British pound 1.3668, and the yen at 103.70. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Republican leader Mitch McConnell is proposing Donald Trump's impeachment trial be delayed for at least 2 weeks, saying that Trump needs more time to prepare. House Democrats who voted to impeach Trump for inciting the Capitol riot have signaled they want a quick trial. Dr. Anthony Fauci, President Biden's chief medical advisor, says he feels somewhat liberated working for the new president after Donald Trump tried to sideline him. Fauci had been replaced by Scott Atlas, who questioned face masks, social distancing, and other public health precautions against COVID. In the NBA, the Knicks downed the Warriors 119-104. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Devils 4-1. The Bruins won in a shootout against the Flyers 5-4. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And for more now on the pandemic, we want to turn to Gigi Granvall, Senior Associate at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. It's great to have you back on with us, Professor. And it's not just putting Dr. Fauci back in the spotlight that seems to show how the Biden administration is taking a wholly different tack when it comes to the pandemic. We've just seen the White House come out with a 200-page plan to sort of nationalize the response. Have you gotten a chance to look at it? And do you think it's tailored to where we are in the pandemic right now?
Yes, thank you for having me. Yes, the plan is all of the things that people have been asking for, people in public health and science have been asking for months. And I'm sure that more details will get added as we go forward. But it covers a lot of the bases that we need to be boosting, to get vaccines out, to get public health measures in place.
Of course, the vaccine rollout has been quite slow compared to where even the Trump administration, the old White House, promised it would be. What further can be done to smooth out the vaccine rollout?
Yeah, so a number of things are already underway to boost supply, to use the Defense Production Act to get a lot of the materials that are needed upstream of the vaccine. Hopefully, we'll have more vaccine available in the next couple of months because there's a Johnson & Johnson, their vaccine candidate, is probably going to go before the FDA in the next several weeks. So that's a one-dose vaccine that would make distribution a lot easier.
Do you expect a quick approval for the Johnson & Johnson shot based on the data you've seen on that one-shot option? Are there any potential hurdles to it?
Yeah, we don't have the data for phase three trials. We have heard some concerns about manufacturing capability that they are apparently addressing. On the other hand, we haven't heard anything negative about the clinical trials either, which we probably would have if the data wasn't good. So we have to wait for the data, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
Well, how about the supply of the current vaccines that have been given emergency approvals, the Pfizer and Moderna? We've heard from a number of states, including New York and Michigan, saying they want to have the option of possibly buying doses directly from Pfizer. Could that create issues?
Yeah, I don't think that's a great idea. I mean, that really is the going to the default of the strategy over the last several months, because where every state is in it for themselves. It really will be better overall if the federal government uses all the powers that it can to get vaccine to where it can be going. And I think that we'll see a big turnaround in distribution in the next couple of months.
Of course, we did hear from Dr. Fauci at some length yesterday from the White House, saying he sees signs now that the virus could be plateauing. What signs are you going to be watching for to see that turn back downward in cases and hospitalizations really is starting to take hold here?
I think it'll take a few weeks before we see the effect of there are different variants that people are concerned about that are more transmissible. If we see that causing going against the trends we have now, I think I would want to see a few more weeks of data before being optimistic on that front.
Those new variants, particularly the ones from UK, Brazil, and South Africa, have gotten so much attention. Is there a risk that those faster spreading variants could outpace the vaccination effort? Is there a correlation there?
Absolutely. We need to boost vaccines as much as possible. But an important thing for people to remember is these are not magic variants. Masks still work against these variants, and all the measures that people have been put in place or have been told to do, masks, social distancing, good air quality, those are all still good ideas for the variants, even if they are more transmissible.
Of course, in our last 30 seconds here, we've seen a number of countries go back into more restrictive measures, including lockdowns. Is that something that could happen in this country?
I really hope that we can do more targeted interventions. For example, the executive orders that were issued yesterday, including making masks mandatory on public transportation, on airplanes, things like that. I'm hoping that these kinds of targeted interventions will be able to turn the tide so that we don't have to do anything more blanket that causes a lot of challenges in, you know, as much as it solves the problems.
Thank you, as always, for your insights. Professor Gigi Granvall with us this morning, senior associate at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Of course, President Biden has set a goal of 100 million vaccine doses administered to Americans in his first 100 days. So far in this country, about 18.4 million shots have been administered. You can keep track of the effort on the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. It is online at Bloomberg.com. Right now, S&P futures down almost 29 points. Dow futures down 270. NASDAQ futures down 77 points. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Biden is once again issuing executive orders. This time, the directives focus on the economy. Details emerge just this hour, and Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The orders will expand eligibility for enhanced food stamp programs, help veterans who are behind on their bills, and help those still waiting for stimulus checks. Federal employees and contractors will be paid a $15 minimum wage, seen as the first steps toward a nationwide minimum wage hike. Federal employees' rights that were stripped under the Trump administration will be restored. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. The move comes as the cost of President Biden's stimulus plan faces opposition from Republicans. Sources tell us the administration plans to meet with a bipartisan group of lawmakers to discuss the package. That meeting will likely take place in the next week.
Still, President Biden's primary focus remains on the pandemic, and he's warning the nation to prepare for dark days ahead.
We didn't get into this mess overnight. It's going to take months for us to turn things around. But let me be equally clear. We will get through this. We will defeat this pandemic.
The president's asking the nation to assume a wartime footing in its fight against the pandemic. He says 100,000 more Americans will likely die over the next month.
Meantime, the Biden administration's making moves in the energy sector. Sources tell us the president is poised to suspend the sale of coal, oil, and gas leases on federal land. We're told the official announcement on that comes next week, along with other initiatives aimed at climate change.
When it comes to taxes, under the White House, Janet Yellen plans to fast-track a series of increases. Bloomberg News obtained the incoming Treasury Secretary's written responses to follow up questions from senators at her confirmation hearing. In those responses, Yellen suggested the wealthy could see higher tax rates under her tenure. She also backs President Biden's plan to raise the corporate tax rate to 28%.
Turning to Wall Street now, Bitcoin slumped below $30,000 for the first time in 2.5 weeks. It touched $28,000 briefly before rebounding overnight, but remains far off this month's highs. Right now, Bitcoin is trading at $31,888.
And futures this morning are falling. S&P futures down about 28 points, Dow futures down 258, and NASDAQ futures down 75. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.09%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.5% at $1.31 at $51.83 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $17.30 at $18.52 an ounce. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer, Land Rover above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. Officials say 15 New York City-run coronavirus vaccination hubs are postponing all first dose appointments, and other sites have stopped making new appointments as the city waits for more vaccine supplies. Mayor Bill de Blasio says that the shortage comes as the city gears up to inoculate ever-growing numbers of people against the coronavirus. De Blasio says he is thankful President Biden is in office to fight the pandemic.
Thank God he is invoking the Defense Production Act. That's what we need, the most muscular possible approach to maximize the amount of supply, get it to here, to New York City, everywhere around the country, because we are running out of vaccine and we need more now.
De Blasio says 45,000 vaccine doses were administered Wednesday in the city. Dr. Anthony Fauci says the Biden vaccination plan can be very effective. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports Fauci is very glad to be on the Biden team.
Dr. Fauci says he feels liberated and says he had some very uncomfortable moments with Donald Trump.
But it was very clear that there were things that were said, be it regarding things like hydroxychloroquine and other things like that, that really was uncomfortable because they were not based on scientific fact.
And he says more comfortable now.
One of the new things in this administration is if you don't know the answer, don't guess. Just say you don't know the answer. Yeah.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Port Authority released a new plan to replace its old Midtown bus terminal. Port Authority officials say replacing it will take a decade at least and billions of dollars. The new five-story terminal will be able to handle almost 40% more passengers. It will provide space for as many as 350 buses. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell wants to postpone Donald Trump's impeachment trial. McConnell proposed delaying the trial until February to give the former president time to prepare and review his case. The House impeached Trump on a single charge of incitement of insurrection for the deadly January 6th attack on the Capitol. Congress approved the waiver needed for Lloyd Austin to serve as President Joe Biden's defense secretary. It is a key step toward making the retired Army general the first black leader of the Pentagon. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. The Knicks have their second three-game winning streak of the season. They come sandwiched around a five-game losing streak, but they got back to 500 with a wire-to-wire 119-104 win at Golden State. R.J. Barrett scored 28 points. Julius Randle just missed a triple-double, 16 points, 17 rebounds, 9 assists. Knicks play again tonight at Sacramento. Marquee game in Milwaukee. The Lakers now 8-0 on the road. They beat the Bucks 113-106. LeBron James scored 36. The NBA has shut down the Memphis Grizzlies. Their next three games all postponed due to COVID, which will also cause Washington Capitals star Alex Ovechkin and three of his teammates to miss at least the next four games. The Islanders improved to 3-1 on the year. They beat the Devils 4-1. College hoops, fifth straight loss for Rutgers, beaten by Penn State 75-67. The Tokyo Summer Olympics postponed from last summer to this July. Now the Times of London reports the games will be canceled, a denial from the IOC. Philadelphia Eagles interviewed 10 candidates. They hired as their new coach 39-year-old Nick Sirianni. He had been the offensive coordinator at Indianapolis, beat out longtime New England assistant Josh McDaniels. So six jobs have been filled. Only Houston still looking. The Jets hired Rob Saleh. He was introduced yesterday.
Get used to the mantra, all gas, no break. When we talk about all gas, no break, we're not talking about effort on the field. We're talking about the process at which we do things. We're talking about the way we prepare, the way we wake up every single morning, the way we rehab, the way we communicate, the way we speak to one another.
Saleh, he preys on incumbent quarterback Sam Darnold, but would not say for sure that he would remain as the Jets quarterback. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks now. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. And, Dave, we've got tech shares on the move after earnings reports.
Absolutely. Intel and IBM, sort of a 1-2 punch for stocks in early trading. Now, Intel's down 4% after having risen late yesterday by 6.5%. That was when their fourth quarter results came out. Then after the close, incoming CEO Pat Gelsinger pledged to keep most of the chipmaker's production in-house. Now, we reported a couple of weeks ago that Intel had talks to have other companies make some state-of-the-art chips, so you're kind of perhaps backing away from that. And so you're seeing Intel down 4% in early trading. IBM's off 7.5%. The computer service company's fourth quarter revenue fell more than analysts expected in a Bloomberg survey. The results showed CEO Arvind Krishna's plan to shed older businesses and focus on cloud computing has yet to pay off.
Now, of course, we are in the height of earnings season here as it's really starting to kick off. What else has your eye?
Well, Seagate Technology, since we're talking tech, Nathan, it's down 3%. The disk drive maker gave a fiscal third quarter earnings forecast that came up short of projections, and Seagate's revenue outlook was in line with estimates. Nonetheless, the stock down. Intuitive Surgical's off 1.5%. The maker of the robotic surgery system Da Vinci declined to provide forecasts after fourth quarter earnings and sales beat estimates. And PPG Industries down 4%. Fourth quarter sales volume at the maker of paints and coatings fell 1.5%, though price increases lifted revenue. You know, PPG cited weakness in its aerospace and auto repair markets, among other areas. We have results coming up before the opening bell today from the oil services company Schlumberger, the railroad Kansas City Southern, and the regional bank Huntington Bank shares. We already have results out from another regional bank, Regions Financial, and they're going over better than some of the other results I was mentioning. Regions is up 1.5%, and no wonder the bank's fourth quarter earnings and revenue were well above estimates. So a plus at a time when a whole lot of other companies, as it turns out, are kind of disappointing investors, at least early on.
Yeah, only about 30 seconds left here, Dave. Anything else beyond earnings you're looking at?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a deal, at least a potential deal, involving a blank check company, and the name of this is really something. Climate Change Crisis Real Impact One Acquisition.
Yeah, huh.
It stocks up close to 50% in early trading. People knowledge of the matter said electric vehicle charging network EVgo Services is nearing a deal to go public with climate change crisis, etc.
Yeah, quite a mouthful there, Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. We'll keep it to spec. Thank you for that. Looking at stocks as a whole ahead of the open this morning. Seeing losses on this Friday morning. S&P futures down 31 points. Dow futures down 282 or 0.9%. NASDAQ futures lower by 84 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Partly to mostly sunny. Chance for a snow shower late this afternoon. Low 40s. Partly to mostly sunny. Windy, cold tomorrow. Low 30s. It'll be mostly sunny, breezy, and low 30s again on Sunday. 38 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are falling in Europe, and U.S. stock index futures are also on the decline as restrictions to curb escalating coronavirus cases dent some of the optimism over earnings and plans for additional stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 29 points. Dow futures down 258. NASDAQ futures down 81. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury up 4.30 seconds. Yield 1.09%. Yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.4% at $1.28 at $51.85 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1% or $18 at $18.51.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.2186 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3673. And the yen is at 103.67. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, public health experts are blaming COVID-19 vaccine shortages around the U.S. in part on the Trump administration's push to get states to vastly expand their vaccination drives to reach the nation's estimated 54 million people aged 65 and over. The push has not been accompanied by enough doses to meet demand. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called for delaying the impeachment trial for Donald Trump until next month. McConnell says it's a matter of fairness to the former president, who is still assembling a defense team. It comes after a mob stormed the Capitol 2 weeks ago. In the NBA, the Knicks down the Warriors 119-104. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Devils 4-1. The Bruins won in a shootout against the Flyers 5-4. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Competence returns. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The professionals are back. If there's one thing that's going to be obvious about the brand new Joe Biden presidency, it's going to be professionalism. Jobs are going to be filled, from the top down and with few exceptions, with people who know how to do them. Competence was on display on day one. Wednesday's major inaugural events went off without a hitch. The first press secretary briefing went well. Biden rolled out 17 executive actions, none of which seemed likely to be immediately thrown out by the courts because of sloppy drafting, nor provoke an international incident, nor anger major groups of voters. Political expertise is no less valuable than substantive know-how. Public policy requires political judgment. Neither its evident scientific nor political expertise guarantees that the Biden administration's policy choices will be the best ones in any objective sense. But professionalism improves the odds of producing policies that accomplish their intended purpose while minimizing strong opposition. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden calling for a wartime footing against the coronavirus, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer calling for delaying former President Donald Trump's impeachment trial till next month, and Treasury nominee Janet Yellen leaving the door open to tax hikes on wealthy Americans. Also making news this morning, President Biden seeking immediate help for millions with his big stimulus at risk on Capitol Hill. For more, we're joined live by Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And of course, we are learning this morning that the president is doing this seeking of immediate help by issuing yet another round of executive orders just this morning. Can you walk us through them, please, Kate?
Absolutely. So I think that, you know, what we're seeing from President Biden this morning is an executive order that's aimed at helping increase food security for and food assistance for Americans. You know, this is not something that's on its face directly pandemic related as much as what we saw yesterday when it comes to, you know, the mask mandates that we've seen the last 2 days and, you know, the other changes to supply chain and things like that are directly related to COVID. But I think this is a more kind of second degree relation in the sense that it has to do with people who have been obviously economically impacted by the pandemic and, you know, the economic fallout from that. And so I think that it signals that Biden is willing to take some steps, you know, via executive order and unilateral action from the White House that are dealing with, you know, the broader economic impact of the virus, not just the virus itself and containing the spread. And that's interesting because it comes in the context of the resistance that we're seeing grow really on Capitol Hill to the broader stimulus package that he's proposed, that $1.9 trillion package that he proposed last week.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, what it means for the prospects of that $1.9 trillion stimulus. We've started to hear from a number of Republicans who are sounding resistant, at least to the price tag.
Absolutely. And so, you know, 1.9, I think the Biden camp, you know, the Biden campaign last week or the transition team last week, now the sitting administration, I think when they put together that proposal, you know, they had to be aware that there might be some sticker shock associated with the price tag. $1.9 trillion is very big. I think that now what they're trying to figure out is the best way to potentially even break out pieces of that might have broader bipartisan support. Democrats have really not tipped their hand yet about how they're going to handle that. I think there is a sense that they may try to go for parts or all of this via a budget process known as budget reconciliation, which would allow the measure to be passed in the Senate with a simple majority, so just 51 votes rather than a supermajority, which would be 60 votes. So that's one option that's on the table. I think that part of what's happening here is the broader context of Democrats having won the Georgia runoff and suddenly finding themselves in control of the Senate, albeit by the slimmest of margins, which is something that, you know, even they didn't necessarily anticipate 2.5 weeks ago. And so I think they're having to rewrite the playbook that they'd started to already kind of put in motion now that they have a bit more power, but not too much power, and figure out how they're going to best execute that leverage that they do have.
Now, talking of playbooks, of course, the White House put out a 200-page blueprint yesterday on its national plan for dealing with the pandemic. And now we're seeing once again in the White House briefing room, Dr. Anthony Fauci, quite a change in direction when it comes to the pandemic and handling it.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I think that that is substantively a change and also symbolically a change, you know, what it's meant to signal both domestically and internationally about the seriousness with which the U.S. is taking the pandemic. We also notably heard from Dr. Fauci yesterday, very early, about 4 a.m. East Coast time. He spoke to the World Health Organization via satellite link in Geneva. He was back in Maryland and, you know, essentially reassured the World Health Organization that it was a new day in America in the sense that the U.S. would be recommitting to the World Health Organization. It would be paying its dues. It should be considered a full partner. It was committed to being a full partner in that international organization that we know Trump pulled the U.S. back from when he was in office. And so I think that, you know, all of these pieces taken together, again, both at a domestic level and at an international level, are, you know, meant to symbolize or meant to signal that you know, the U.S. is changing tack when it comes to addressing the virus and send the signal that, you know, as Biden said during his campaign, this is going to be his number one priority from day one.
Our last minute here. What's the latest on the timing of former President Trump's impeachment trial?
Well, right now it's really in the hands of Nancy Pelosi because she has to decide when she's going to transmit the articles of impeachment to the Senate, which is what would trigger the beginning of a trial. And she has not really tipped her hand yet on exactly when she's going to do that. Obviously, we did hear from Mitch McConnell, who was asking for a delay, essentially, in that trial. He's arguing that, you know, it's a matter of fairness for President Trump, former President Trump, to have the time to get his legal team together. He's also making an argument, I think, kind of, making an argument, picking up on, you know, Joe Biden's call for unity in his inaugural address, and essentially McConnell saying, why don't we give this a little time to lower the temperature, let some of the tensions and the, you know, really chaotic feelings around this ease a bit before we try to inflame or before they could potentially get inflamed again with the Senate trial. And so I think that it's a bit of an open question at this point. We don't have a lot of good answers on exactly when this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what we are hearing is it could happen as soon as, you know, next week even.
All right. Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you, as always. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. U.S. regulators have approved the first long-acting drug combo for HIV with monthly shots that can replace the daily pills now used to control infection with the AIDS virus. The approval of the two-shot combo is expected to make it easier for people to stay on track with their HIV medicines and to do so with more privacy. Tensions are escalating between a corporation and a government. Google is threatening to disable its search engine in Australia if it's forced to pay local publishers for news. A Google executive told the parliamentary hearing that the proposed law, intended to compensate publishers for the value of their stories that their stories generate for the company, is, quote, unworkable. Australia Prime Minister Scott Morrison responded by saying, quote, we don't respond to threats. At least 94% of online searches in Australia go through Google. And the richest person in the world is offering up to $100 million. That's what Elon Musk says he'll pay toward a prize for the best carbon capture technology. The entrepreneur made the announcement on Twitter and said details would come next week. Musk is co-founder of electric car maker Tesla. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.